After the Christmas tree has been taken down and the gifts put away, secular Christmas, that is, Christmas like the world celebrates it, is over, at least for 10 months or so. We get a break from hearing one more round of Santa Baby or Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. Ads for Black Friday are replaced by New Year car and mattress sales, and the world goes back to business as usual. But one of the most marvelous, amazing things about being a Christian is that the deeper meaning of Christmas remains for us. Not only throughout the new year, but throughout our lives. When we understand who Jesus is, we inherit the hope, peace, joy, and love that have been Christ's gift to humankind since that first Christmas night. For over 2,000 years, the blessings of Jesus Christ have called to all people, kings and slaves, young and old, rich and poor, free and oppressed, confused or determined. And their lives have inspired others to search for the life Christ offers. We are part of that spiritual stream of history here at Oakton on the verge of the year 2020. But the blessing of being a follower of Jesus aren't without obligation. To know Jesus and to grow in faith, we must claim him as our Lord and Savior. It's not very fashionable nowadays to need a Savior. Our do-it-yourself independent culture judges need as a weakness and humility as a defect. I'm guessing that's the way it's always been. But if we accept his sacrifice on the cross, we must claim him as our Savior. I would like to suggest four ways that we do that. Two of them may sound familiar because we've already had bumper stickers made. But I think the others are just as necessary for Christian life. The first is live the love of Christ. Love each other, Christ said, as I have loved you. Psalms and the New Testament are full of instructions to love each other, which is not always easy when someone is standing on your last nerve. But as Christians, we find ways through prayer and understanding to love others, even when our personalities or opinions clash. Kindness is not something that comes naturally, especially in an era when judgment spatters like acid rain on social media. Love must be practiced daily, using the tools of wisdom, restraint, and empathy. I see love here at Oakton Church of the Brethren, here we go, you're saying, every Sunday as people greet each other, hugging and sharing. During the week, there are visits, cards, and phone calls by our pastors, deacons, and other concerned members of our congregation to those with problems or worries. We live our love in the gifts we bring to worship and other work of the church. Our worship leaders prepare and share their journey with us each Sunday, as Bob has done this morning. Finance and Property Committee manage our resources carefully yet generously and care for our church and parsonage wisely and faithfully. In addition to caring for the spiritual growth of our children, our Christian Education Committee has a wonderful ministry with the Opal Tutoring Program. It is growing rapidly and is very much appreciated by those families able to come. Our fellowship committee plans events that bring us together in fun ways. Members dedicate their time and energy to serving with love, such as our musicians this morning. I believe God loves us for these things, which we do out of love, for our Savior and our neighbors. I also believe that we will continue to grow, and God will continue to bless and challenge us to live our love in new ways. The second is share the joy of Christ. Christians are often perceived as being rigid and judgmental, but in fact, the Christian life is freedom itself. In Jesus' time, his touch healed people physically, freeing them from miserable diseases of the time. His teachings freed them from an impossible set of rules and requirements that had grown up around the Ten Commandments. In every age, humanity has been given an alternative to tyranny and injustice by God's grace through Jesus. As our Hebrew scripture says, Jesus frees us even from the fear of death. Slaves in America saw a parallel between the Egyptians oppressed by Pharaoh and their own situations under their white masters. They created gospel songs that are some of the most joyful and soulful music that ever connected people to the heart of God. Like them, we are called on to share the joy and freedom we find in Christ. And when we share our joy, we claim our Savior. The third is speak the word. This is a tough one for members of the Church of the Brethren. Perhaps not wanting to be seen as judgmental, we're reluctant to proselytize, and for good reason. Proselytize means to try to convert or change someone's belief. Yet that is truly different than sharing our faith when it's appropriate. I'm surprised at how many times, knowing that I'm a Christian, I've been asked to pray for someone, as though only bona fide churchgoers are allowed to pray. Sometimes people think there are way more rules than there are. There are really only 10. Finally, when I'm asked to pray for someone, I've gotten to where I can say, why don't we pray about this together? To speak about Jesus is to claim him as our Savior. Finally, number four is show the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Church of the Brethren was founded in 1708 by a small group of German immigrants who came to America to escape war and find religious freedom. Its founder, Alexander Mack, was asked how the members could be identified. By the manner of their living, he responded. Today, we strive to show the way of Jesus by the way we live our lives. Our values of peace, simplicity, and community are medicine for a hurting world, just as they were in Jesus' time. These four ideals, live the love, share the joy, speak the word, and show the way, mark us as children of God and brothers and sisters in Christ. The world needs a Savior also. Let's share ours with them.